An effective CRC screening education intervention. This is right, right?
That is correct.
I'm having sinus problems, so bear with me if I have to pause and clear my throat. So let's get started. No disclosures. A study team, Marilyn Winkleby, a social ethnographer at Stanford, and Susan is no longer at UCSF. She's now at Davis, a biostatistician. Maria Fernandez at Houston Health Science Center is a cancer intervention specialist, and Dr. Ernest Salazar here at UCSF, a colon cancer specialist. You're probably all familiar with this. The goal for colorectal cancer in Healthy People 2000 is 70.5, which puts us, for white non-Hispanics, at least 10 points increase. You probably also know that the last two decades, we never reached the colorectal screening goals. They're ambitious, and I guess it's fine to stretch. If you look at Native Americans, Asians, Latinos, they drop off pretty sharply. Actually, it's kind of a linear drop. If you look over the last 20 years at gains, screening gains, improvement in screening numbers, the rates, black and Latino, I mean white and Latinos were in the higher areas. Huge gains in Asian Pacific Islanders in the last 20 years. And Latinos had the least improvements. Excuse me. So the challenges are to find a way, you know, as Linda had mentioned, convey knowledge, address misconceptions, deal with attitudes, language issues, and language and literacy issues as well. The goal of our intervention was to find a way to deliver culturally and linguistically appropriate materials to medically underserved Latinos, both men and women. Our strategy was to develop something that would make the experience engaging for them, so we opted to use a touchscreen kiosk as our education platform, and we wanted to promote actual screening, physical, you know, behavior change. Kiosks, we've done work in the past, and they're pretty effective because it's self-paced. You can have an individual experience, you and the computer. It's a good way to engage learners if you use a lot of multimedia elements. And it's an opportunity for you to tailor the message. We tailored based on language, on gender, and on age, three different levels. And, you know, as iPhones and iPads and stuff have all shown us, you know, just having access to navigation at your fingertips is very cool, very easy to do. This is sort of the branching, the tailoring, language, age, and gender. Why 64? Because they're not old enough for Medicare yet, and that affects screening access to health care and so forth. And then you go into the actual themes, different modules that we used. Bottom left, the print module. We learned from other studies that if you have an individual doing one-on-one education with a kiosk, they might be well-informed or well-motivated at that moment to go out and get screened. Then they go home, then life intrudes, and it never happens. So we thought, well, let's use a computer for that, too, so we can print out, if they choose to, touch the screen, they get a printout, they take that to the front desk, and voila, they're scheduled for a screening test. And, you know, I developed this on a Mac and, you know, PCs. Bill Gates doesn't like us. So it drops off. That's floating air is part of animation, of course, and R is part of gender, et cetera. But I just wanted to show you that, you know, that tailoring was done at this level, Module 5, and then we used video elements and animation and so forth. Actually, animation is a very effective way to put a lot of very complex information in a very short amount of time. And it works very well. I'll show you. I'll give examples of that in a moment. That's one of them.
The colorectal system is part of the digestive tract, where our bodies break down food, absorb nutrients, and water, and store waste products from the digestive process. It is an area of the large intestine that includes the colon and the rectum. Waste from the digestive process moves from the colon to the rectum and passes out of the body. Colorectal cancer is a disease in which normal cells in the inner lining of the colon and the rectum fail to reproduce normally. It produced abnormal growths called pulps, which developed into cancerous tumors that interfere with the normal function of the body and may spread to other parts of the body. Colorectal cancer develops slowly over time. Sometimes it takes 10 to 20 years for polyps to become cancerous. In the early stages, colon cancer often does not have any symptoms or pain. By the time symptoms show up, it may mean that it has advanced and may have spread. Regular screening is the best way to catch colon cancer at an early stage, before it develops and spreads. Colorectal cancer refers to the cancer of the colon and rectum, but it is commonly called colon cancer. It is the third most common cancer diagnosed in men and women, and second leading cause of cancer death in this nation. Yet one of every three colon cancer deaths could have been prevented with regular screening. That is why regular screening is so important. Screening tests can find polyps in their early stages and remove them before they become cancerous. That is why colon cancer is prevented. That's why screening, early detection, and treatment are so important. Screening can prevent cancer and can save lives.
So we found in our formative research that, like women are the nurturers, the caretakers of the family. The group of Latinos we were dealing with, working and trying to provide for the family, which is tough enough, is their way of nurturing and supporting the family. And this is an actual case, or it's based on an actual case where one of our men in the study told us about the brother who had, at 58, been diagnosed, always working, never, you know, took time for himself, and now he's full of remorse, saying, "What was I thinking? You know, if I'd have done it, taken a little bit of time, I'd still be there for my family." So that resonates really strongly with men, and sometimes women. So that's another example. We do a fair amount of behavioral modeling, where we just don't use the fotonovela or that format, but actually do a narrative that's based on real, actual situations. And that resonates very, very well. Another example.
I would rather not perform. But my sister's best friend just died of colon cancer. She'd never been checked. By the time she went to the doctor, it was too late.
Cancer is a very serious matter. That's why we should talk about it. That's why we should become informed and know what to do to prevent it or reduce the risk of pain.
So we learned also that, you know, usually the topic, the subject of cancer and colorectal cancer comes up when there's an incident somewhere in the family, in the network. A colleague at work, a neighbor, a friend, and so forth. And we used that to contextualize this presentation, this part of it. This is another one.
She was sitting down and making my watch. How long did you go to the doctor for checking? She insists that she would get better soon. If something is expensive, we could afford it. I love her so much that I almost never had her way. I'm proud of you, though, aren't you? But there's no voice, and people of all colors have their disagreements. And then I don't know what's the game of the horse that she's bleeding in her stool. It's frightening, it scared me too. But she told me. That's when I put my foot down and I insisted that she see a doctor. But it was too late. The phone she had called was concerned. It was pretty far along. It couldn't properly because it had spread to her liver and stomach. She went fast and was. It was a few months and she was gone. And I wish I had loved her enough not to let her that away. I should have insisted she see a doctor. I should have done more. But I didn't. I don't have the love of my life with me anymore. Love someone so much. You can't live without them. Do what you can to see that they stay alive. Persuade them to get checked, even if they don't want to. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to come up with the money to keep them tested. That's how you can show your love. That's how you can save their life.
So again, another narrative based on actual circumstances. And then we have a number of them.
Colon cancer is a very common, yet very preventable form of cancer. By age 50, one of every four persons has precancerous polyps in the colon or rectum. So getting regular checkups after age 50 is very important. It's the best way to prevent colon cancer. According to the National Institutes of Health, NIH, annual screening through blood stool tests can prevent up to one-third of colon cancer death. And surgery can cure 90% of colon cancer cases if they are found early. The lesson here is that regular screening is the best way to detect and treat colon cancer early. It's a very important strategy for preventing colon cancer.
Colon cancer normally doesn't have any signs or symptoms in its early stage, but it does in its later stages. A change in bowel movements for more than a few weeks, a feeling of the bowel movement empty completely, thin stools, persistent stomach pain, including cramping, gas, or pain, unexplained weight loss, and blood issues. These symptoms are also caused by other problems, but it's important to go to the doctor to rule out colon cancer. Don't be wrong, because the conditions causing these symptoms are not likely to go away. And if they do happen to be caused by colon cancer, it is so very important to catch it as early as possible.
Anyway, it just goes on to talk in more detail, provide some more detail on risk factors and prevention early detection. Let me move on a little bit. Then there's a long description of the different tests that are used. And I'm going to stop there with the video. There's a lot of content. The video content is about 20 to 24 minutes, depending on what branches, where you go, and so forth, the tailoring. Like the earlier study, we also did satisfaction scores. You know, the first item, the first bar there is, did you like this experience? You and the computer and so forth, and, you know, 90-some-odd percent to 92% did. Did you find it easy to understand? Did you find it easy to navigate to get the information you wanted? Did you learn from it? Do you feel that you learned from it? And the last item is, would you like this as a way of learning about other cancers, other, you know, health issues? And the answer was yes. I've got to editorialize a little bit. I mean, in 94, 95, 96, I started conceptualizing using this technology to do, you know, patient education around cancer. And I had folks at the federal and state level that were just not buying it. Why are you using advanced technology to teach, you know, in this case, we're doing breast and cervical. Why don't you teach women that don't even know how to use a computer or a mouse? Why do you want to use a touch screen? I mean, this technology. It's precisely because of the touch screen. I mean, you make the information very accessible to them. You can animate it. You can do all sorts of other stuff and really convey the message very powerfully. And we've demonstrated that over time. This is just another example. We did a randomized controlled trial, a large enough sample. We had 86% retention rate. We powered it to detect 11% differences between study arms. These are the outcome measures we were looking at. Screening behavior was the primary health outcome we were looking for. We hypothesized that indeed they would gain knowledge and self-efficacy and attitude, but we were looking specifically for behavior change. No real difference between two study arms. I'm going to move quickly because I've got 2 minutes left. Modest knowledge gains, not substantial. And no significant gains in self-efficacy. So this might surprise you a little bit because we found that indeed there was a significant gain in behavior. Looking at behavioral decisional balance, change in decisional balance, very significant. The trial demonstrated clearly and very, very definitively that this intervention worked. It actually got people to go out and get screened. The difference between the control and treatment is significant, very significant. We wanted to determine attribution, so we asked for the control condition, the bottom one, we used the CDC fact sheet called Screening for Life. It's a very good fact sheet. It's one page, no longer being published in Spanish. We had to publish it ourselves, and print it ourselves from the actual document. And we found that it itself is effective. It gets maybe 1 out of 4 individuals to go out and get tested once they read it and so forth. Doctors, which is the intermediate condition there, about a third of them, a little bit over a third, and the kiosk, half, about half of each person that used or was exposed to the intervention went out and got tested. And I'm out of time, so thank you.